Well, hello, naughty boys and girls. It is I, Disaster. Welcome to the Tasty Ear Bits podcast. Here, we're all about the drag, the art, the trash, and the comedy. This episode, we're going to veer away from our usual super tasty format to construct a colossal countdown of biblical proportions. Wait, you know what? Fuck the Bible. This majestic edition powers past that cheap pulp novella of poorly written fairy tales and blasts us through an epic plateau. A top 10 is not enough for our podcast. This one goes all the way to 11. First up is LA's own OG super monster and gory glamour goddess, Frankie Doom, star of Dragula Season 1 and Dragula Resurrection. She gonna give us her top 11 list of most intriguing performers to possibly appear on Season 4 of the Boulet Brothers' Dragula. And then we have an incredibly thorough and in-depth top 11 favorite anime list from super sexy star of Sado Psychiatrist and Dragula Season 1, Foxy Ashway. It's her way or the highway, people, so prepare for the epic transmutation!
This one goes to 11.
So, the Boulet Brothers are going to do it again. They are casting for Season 4 of their show, Dragula. The alt-drag world is all a-titter, speculating about who will end up being picked. And to fuel that speculation, Dragula Season 1 finalist and Dragula Resurrection cast member, Spectacular Glamour Ghoul, Frankie Doom is here. Welcome, Frankie Doom.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me. It's good to be out of my coffin.
Whoever pried that open, thank you, but make sure you hammer that back in at the end of the night, because we don't want Frankie Doom roaming the streets too dangerous.
It totally released a scent.
I, along with everybody, loved you on Resurrection.
Thank you. That was so much fun to do. It was really fun to have something to do. You know, we've been stuck at home and not being able to go anywhere or do anything really. So it was really fun to have an opportunity to be creative and make some shit happen. So I had a really good time with it. I hope I served looks that everyone loved and were astounded by.
You did. And everybody was astounded. Now, that show was very highly acclaimed because, like you said, the pandemic forced the production team to do something different. They had to go to everybody's houses, and they dove deep into the life situations of their participants one-on-one, and we got to know what makes you all tick, which was super captivating. Do you think the Boulets will stick to that format for Season 4, or go back to the old format?
I don't know. I mean, it was really cool to do that because there was so very few of us. So you could really, like, take time to hear people's stories, and it was such a long documentary, kind of, but I feel like when there's more people, you can't really focus on every single person. I would love to see more of the contestants, though. I would really like to see more of their stories and a little more interviews, what they're like, what they're about, and definitely less of the Boulets walking around.
I want to know more about the people on the season. I think on my season, on Season 2, they didn't really dive into who everybody was. Just a little bit. You get a little bit of a taste. And on the Resurrection, everybody got to know so much about everybody. And also, coincidentally, the show was super duper popular.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely so much more to an artist than just a photo you see online or, I guess, like, what, 30 seconds of a runway, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really cool to get to know them and get to hear what they have to say or what fuels their craziness, like what makes their magic happen, you know?
Exactly.
We're all totally into different things. I think it was really cool to hear Dolly speak about the things that, like, influence her and bring her looks together or what she does. And I was really influenced by horror movies and monsters and my culture. So it was really cool to get a little bit of that and hear everyone's kind of backstory for their personas.
Just to have a simple explanation of where everybody's coming from.
Yeah.
And that is a really good formula for good TV. So I hope they take some of those things they learned on Resurrection and put it into Season 4.
That could totally save you at times, because if you look shitty and happen to make a mistake, the fact that people like you might even keep you on longer. So see, there's that too.
And I think no matter what, you do get more likable the more people talk about themselves on this show, because everybody who's cast on this show is like an interesting art monster and has so much to say. So let them say, let them talk.
Exactly. I'm glad you got to hear me talk this time. Season one was very, we have three cameras and two people, so let's make this work. We were always in different places and they never really recorded us talking as much or just us being, you know. There were so many fun talks I had with Sochi, like just shady as fuck, just being stupid somewhere and with different people at different times. It would have been cool to see that versus how they came kind of back and recorded it later or came back and, you know, we had to work with what we had to work with. So now it's cool to see other seasons, and to be back on Resurrection was kind of really awesome to actually get to talk about myself. So I'm glad you got to see that I'm funny and that I'm not just some kind of weird, like, slutty bitch.
Wait a minute. You had three cameras? Season two only had two cameras.
They were like phone cameras, girl. It wasn't even that serious.
Okay, so for this top 11 list, just a little primer. Okay, that's what they say in England, a primer. This is not necessarily who is the best, who is going to do the best, but who is the most intriguing to you.
Yep. I scoured the internets for some people that I follow and people that pop up.
And everybody out there, keep in mind that Saint the Unholy will be part of the cast, and maybe even Dolly as well. So we're not saying these 11 people are going to be the cast. We're just saying these 11 people are very, very intriguing, and we would love to see them on the show.
All right.
Frankie Doom, who is your number 11?
Number 11.
It's hard. They were all super cool. I think I'll start with Ghost Electra.
Okay.
Not that she's less intriguing, it's just that she's very gorgeous. And I chose her because she's very alternative looking and I like her fashion style. I like her sexiness to her. So I wanted to see what she could bring. I think she's beautiful.
Ghost Electra is from Berlin, Germany. And I did a little funny thing with numbers too. Okay, we're doing top 11 out there, but I am also doing another number. I looked at everybody's Instagram and I wrote down the top three terms that came to my silly little stupid trashy head. So when I looked at Ghost Electra, the three things I thought of was refined, fetish, and high fashion.
Exactly. Very that. I thought about like just undead, fetish, and just perfection. She's very put together.
There's not been a lot of out-of-country performers on the Dragula seasons, I think. Is it only Yavska?
I believe so. I've seen a lot of fans, though, talk about how they want to see people from other countries. And the Boulets have said anybody can try out. So I wanted to find people from all over the place that I could think of that should try out, that should get on here. You know, it's just growing from here. So let's get that prize money. Let's see what people got inside the world.
It is a worldwide thing.
Yeah.
So people out there are definitely very influenced by Dragula around the world. So Ghost Electra from Berlin is number 11. How about number 10?
Number 10.
My number 10 is Vivi Incognito from San Diego, California.
I love Vivi Incognito. My three words for Vivi is explosive, punk rock, and trashy. Not trashy, trashy, sort of like sachet.
You know, fancy trash, sparkly trash. No, totally. I actually know Vivi. I've known her for a while. I've done some of her shows and I've seen her come out here to LA to perform. And she's like a really magical performer to watch because she explodes and there's just so much energy and her looks are really fun. I love how she paints very snatched and like gorgeous, but it's also very monstrous and bloody at the same time with horns. And she's just very intense, but like in the best way possible. And I think she deserves to have her drag out there. People should see it. I think more people need to see that drag is not just what we think it is. There's so many different kinds of drag out there. So I want to get a little bit of everything. And Vivi is definitely amazing.
Vivi is in your face. I think before I met Vivi, I saw her at some club. I guess it was it Fault Line or something? I don't remember. But they were very explosive, just like hanging out. I was like, oh, is that a loose cannon over there? Maybe I better stay away from this person. And then I met them and I'm like, I am in love with this person. Just the sweetest person ever and the coolest and the most fun to be around. So Vivi is like intimidating, but in the best possible way, I think.
Very that. Sweetest person I've ever met. Super fun to be around. But her style, the way she looks is very intimidating, very powerful. So I love it. I can't wait to see her get on something.
Vivi, I think, is underrated and overlooked. So Vivi, I want you on season four.
I hope she does. I hope she gets out there. I hope she tries out.
All right. What about number nine?
Number nine.
Number nine is Akira Oni.
Are they from Boston?
I'm not sure. I don't think it says in the photo that I have of them, but I just learned of them recently. Well, I wouldn't say too recently. It was, I think, the middle of last year during the pandemic, and I started watching more digital drag shows and stuff. And I think they were on Bitch Pudding's show, and I saw the video that they created, and it was really fucking cool. And the makeups were just so cool. And scrolling through their Instagram, I just kept falling in love with how elaborate their makeups were and how creepy they were. It was really kind of like a demon god in like a video game.
The three words I had: fantasy, evil sprite, and creepy. I looked on their Instagram, and they are playing around with doing some virtual reality. A lot of people in sort of like the gaming world now are coming up with these personas that are 100% digital 3D. It seemed like they were screwing around with that.
I think it's really cool where this break from, I guess, what we're used to got for us. Like, you know, the pandemic is terrible. Everything's horrible, but we all kind of came together as a community and created things for each other, like drag shows online. And, you know, they were on Instagram Live, then turned into Twitch shows, and people started using green screens, and just everything's getting digital. Everything's changing. Everyone's trying new things. And it's just really cool to see how things evolved in this short period of time that we couldn't walk outside and go just, you know, shake our asses for dollars.
That's right. Things really have changed because of this whole pandemic and the drag scene. People are trying new things. And the best thing about digital drag is that performers had to figure out technology a little bit, and they really dove in. And that makes their performances better. When the performances start happening again and in real life, they're going to get all multimedia on our asses, and they're going to incorporate things that they wouldn't have thought of doing before.
Very true. I'm a little behind. I need to catch up. I feel like I got the green screen down for like a second and it worked once. And then I tried another time and it wasn't really working. So I feel like I just kind of gave up on it and was like, we're just gonna do it the old fashioned way and just be glamorous and throw some glitter on and see what happens.
So number eight,
The Andy Black. I've actually followed them for a long time. I love scary performers. I love people that are just covered in gore and, you know, fake blood and mess, but they look creepy as shit. And I've seen videos where he's just this beautiful glamazon or this like undead like corpse, a little nightgown and their booties out the back. And I'm all about the nudity and the mess and the trash mixed with a little bit of glitter. So I was really into it. I love horror references too. So I love me a bloody monster.
My three little phrases for the Andy Black were witchy, bloody, and horrific. Really pushed to the super monster level. Very beautiful face, but also super gore-tastic and just scary.
I think that's very important you said that, very to the Dragula level, because I feel like, you know, as we progress with seasons and stuff, people are bringing more intense looks and really making it happen, you know? I feel like even Resurrection, we had to create our creatures, and my bat creature was amazing, and I love everything I did with it, and I love what that looks like. So I want to see something like that. Whose was Loris's? All of Loris's looks were actually really, really well thought out and put together. I think that the bar has been raised, so it's really important that if you're going to try out and you're going to try to get on there, think about what you got. Think about what you're going to bring and where you're at. You level up, you know?
So, you know, it's going to be difficult to get onto season four, and then once you're on there, you really have to keep that skill level up, up, up.
You're going to have to try to stay on there.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a really fun season to watch with just the talent out there and how far people push it.
I agree. All right, how about lucky seven?
Number 7.
Or unlucky seven, maybe with the Boulets. Who knows?
Abby Cadabra. She just moved to Atlanta, Georgia.
Moved to Atlanta. Okay. I got messy, trashy, and old school super monster.
So very me.
Yes. And that is the highest compliment, is it not?
Actually, Abby is someone that I've known for a very long time before I even started doing drag. I'm a haunt monster, and so is she. So we've been friends talking over the internet about prosthetics, makeup, art, all kinds of things. And I've been a fan of what she creates for a long time. And then she became a drag queen, and I was even more in love with it. And the Boulets actually met her and said that she reminded them of me. And it's funny because she calls me her drag mother. And I told her that I wanted to meet her, and we can make it official when we meet. And I finally got a gig with her in Michigan, and we got to spend a week together. And it was so much fun to see her perform. And she was just so out there and pushed it so far. And there was like prosthetics, gore. There was like metal coming out of her head at one point, like a big crazy brace. It was fun to watch her. So I feel like she has a lot to bring. Her strength is definitely prosthetics, and her looks are really, really creepy and trashy. I love it.
We will be right back after this quick break. Hi, this is Sporkleboard the Mushroom Gnome. You are listening to the Tasty Earbits Podcast. Help support our endeavor by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/coldslutsonfire. One word. I'm Snorkelboard the Mushroom Gnome. The Mushroom Gnome, the Mushroom Gnome, the Mushroom Gnome, the Mushroom... Snorkelboard, the Mushroom Gnome, the Mushroom Gnome, the Mushroom... All right, let's go on to number six.
Number six.
Tony Barrow.
I love Tony Barrow. I think Tony Barrow is another one who is overlooked, a Los Angeles drag performer. Three words I got for Tony is glamorous, spooky, and devious.
Very spooky, very glamorous. I love the makeups that she puts out. I think it's just the full body paints, the vampire look, the zombie looks that she does. They're so well put together, so well done. And not many people do that, you know? A lot of it's like an Instagram thing where people paint themselves on Instagram different colors. And it's really easy to do that in a photo, but she literally paints her body blue and looks like a Nosferatu, like glamour goddess, and lives the whole day in that. I think it's fucking awesome. I love what she does. And I love that she's so fetishy, and sometimes she presents more female, sometimes she's more male. It's very like in between. Mm-hmm. It's very all over, gender bendy. So I just love how she plays with gender. I love how she plays with makeup and horror, and it's really well done. I want to see her have pressure put on her.
Mm.
Once there's pressure on her, she's going to turn out some really cool shit, I feel like.
Interesting. So do you think that they are better under pressure?
I don't know for sure. I feel like it comes easily to her. Every time I see her get ready, I'm like, okay, another fucking flawless look, another really awesome idea. So it'd be really cool to see, all right, well, you have this much time to get this together. What the fuck are you going to do? And I want to see her like create some fucking cool shit when it has to happen, you know?
That is a challenge to you, Tony Barrow, out there. I'm sure you're listening. I'm sure you're always on the edge of your seat with Tasty Earbits.
She definitely needs to have her moment.
Let's see. Are we getting into the top five?
I think so.
It's getting really exciting, Frankie Doom.
Number five.
All right. The next one is Cocoa Puffed.
Cocoa Puffed from Oklahoma, I believe. The three words I got for a Cocoa Puffed is drag monster, snatched, and demonic.
Yes. Those three are their perfect words. She's so stunningly gorgeous and so bloody and gross. I loved it. It's so perfect. I love her prosthetic work. I love just how she presents herself. It's so stunning and just so creepy at the same time. It's the perfect blend of glamour ghoul.
Super gorgeous, beautiful, very sexy and bloody.
Body.
You know, jaw-droppingly stunning and evil. You know, somebody who is that stunning must be evil.
Totally a murderer. I feel like she kills and eats people. I love her art. I've been following her for a while too, and I've been seeing what she's been doing, and I'm like, come on, it's your time. Apply, mm-hmm. Get out there, audition. I want to see you up there. I want to see what happens. I want to see what you bring. I think she's really exciting.
I listened to the recent Creatures of the Night podcast where they were talking about casting for season 4, and I guess it was Drac who was mentioning something about, wouldn't it be interesting to have pageant queens, people who are very good at doing these competitions? What would that bring to it all? I don't know if Cocoa Puffed is into that, but it certainly has the sort of look to it.
It's funny you mentioned that, because back before Dragula was a show, it was a party, and we used to look for people to like get on stage, and I was one of the executioners that chose, you know, I went out looking for people. And there was one specific party I remember where I think we had like 9 people already chosen. We need one more person to get up on the stage that was just one of the coolest people we've seen of the night all over the party. And I spotted this like pageant looking queen, stunning in a black dress. Beautiful, you know, the stereotypical loaf hair with the, you know, looking very just put together and gorgeous. You wouldn't think she'd be hanging out at Dragula. And I came over and I said, you, I need you. You're gorgeous. I want to see what happens. Let's go. You're going to drink some piss. We're going to do something crazy, you know? And she said she was down. And I remember she went up there. And when she walked up on the stage to, you know, present herself and model, a lot of people were into it. A lot of people kept saying, why her? She's not Dragula. She's not scary. She's not this or that. And one, that's wrong. Dragula is a lot of things. There's glamour in there. You could be anything as long as you fucking slay it. And she slayed it. She did all the things. She drank the alcohol. I think she fucking like sang into someone's butthole. Like she did a lot of shit. And she ended up winning that night.
Wow.
And I thought it was so funny that people were pissed that she won. And I was like, why? Because she's a pageant looking girl. She has it. She did it. She's Dragula. Like you don't have to be just this big bloody mess.
Right.
You know what I mean? The boules don't look like that.
Right. What are these artsy queens and kings out there going to do when a pageant queen gets into their competition?
Somebody who's confident, doesn't lose.
Our artsy, depressed asses are not ready for something like that.
Look how good Melissa did.
That's true, right? Finalist.
Melissa is that pageant, perfect, super polished queen, and she made it to the top 3, and she served some iconic looks the whole time.
And she's been serving a lot of iconic looks since that whole thing, too.
Very. So come on, girls, pageant girls, try out spooky undead pageant chicks. Come on, dead prom queens, bring them to me.
All right, top four. Who is number four?
Number four.
Androgen King is next.
On everybody's list to be in the season.
Honestly, though.
Because they deserve to be on the list.
Yeah.
The three words I got from Andro King are skilled, austere, and devilish.
Just the makeup skills alone, like, it blows me back every time I see another photo of him. He's gorgeous. I might have a little crush.
Well, step away, Frankie, because I have a crush too.
We can fight over it. We can mud wrestle.
I'm not going to win that one, though. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see him on a big screen. I want to see what he brings. You know, it was really exciting to have a drag king in the competition, have Landon come and just, like, really change the game up. Mm-hmm.
So accomplished.
And I'd love to see what he can do. I'd love to see what Androgen King can bring.
Funny little story about Andro. They were over here at my house with Abora. I don't remember why. It was maybe we were doing a My Drag is Valid or something. But Andro King was in town. I believe they live in Miami. And this isn't shade or anything, but I found it very interesting. Andro had to leave our house because they were a little spooked out by it. My lady wife and I, Ave Rose, we have a house full of the most weird, scary, artsy, visceral stuff. My lady wife is big into taxidermy, and she has just like cabinets full of prepared bugs. Dead animals all over the place hanging on the walls. It's understanding somebody could get a little freaked out and have to leave, but I'm wondering, you know, what would it be like for somebody to be on Dragula who has all the looks, who is a great performer, but, you know, when it comes to eating spiders, are they going to be able to do it?
Honestly, I could tell you I'm afraid of bugs. Not all bugs, but specifically roaches. Like, they really get to me. It's like a total phobia. It's something I've been working on, though. I love going to haunts and getting scared. And there's one specifically that they put bugs on your back or put beetles on you and stuff at one point as you're going through. And I had to sit there and just close my mouth and close my eyes and not freak out because they'll fuck with you more. So I just sat there and took it. And I feel like over time, I've somewhat worked on the fear where I'm not too freaked out by it. But I don't know if I could put one in my mouth. I know that I would because I'm not going to go home. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure if I had to do that, and that was my extermination or something that I had to do, I'd probably puke all over the place and cry, but I'm not going to go home.
I think that's one thing that people don't consider when getting on, or maybe they do, I'm not sure. I think they do consider it because they think, oh, I don't want to apply because, you know, I can't do that. I can't eat a bug, or I'm not going to, you know, do all these crazy things that they ask you to do. But, you know, when you're on the show, you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
If you're in the bottom, you're like, you fucking have to do whatever they say. You got to jump out of a plane. You have to eat those bugs. You have to do whatever it takes to stay there.
I feel like I'm more jealous watching the seasons because I wish that I was able to jump out of an airplane. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to have done that. There's so many things that I want to do that I see the exterminations and I'm like, that looks fun. I would totally like to do that. I think season one, Loris was eating the brains and Vander was too. And that's another thing. Even if you're a winner, they make you do some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you're going to be in the top or the bottom. You never know.
That's true.
And Zochi and I looked at each other and we were like, I kind of want to taste it. So we went over and like started eating the brains too.
That's why you were in the finals for season one. All right, now we are getting down to this finals of our top 11. All right, who was number three?
Number three.
I believe it's Luke's Lyka.
Lukeslyka from London. The three words I got was artsy, morph master, and clown.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed. So obsessed. I can spend like hours looking through their Instagram because their makeups are just so fun. When you look at what they're made of, it's like, okay, I can do this. Okay, I can try this, you know, but it's just really, I don't know. It's like so much thought goes into how they paint and mm-hmm. I love it. It's so artsy. It's so well put together. In some cases, it's really kind of grotesque.
Yes, it's super high concept and there is some gore on there and it's super kind of like avant-garde or something.
Yeah, the picture that I kept was the one with all the guts it looked like coming out of their face.
Oh yeah, yeah, that one is
crazy. And I thought
crazy.
That was so fucking incredible that I would love to see that. I mean, Dragula's for everyone. You don't have to be female presenting or be a drag queen per se. So I would love to see someone who just does art. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have anything on it. It's just, this is what I present. This is what I'm making. And it's fucking cool. So judge me on it. You know what I mean?
It's just all very immaculate. There is nothing out of place. It is perfect. It is grotesque. It is very painterly. And yes, for sure, high concept. They take their entire face, their entire body, and they flesh out the concept. You know, it's not necessarily lady drag or masculine drag. It's just a crazy art monster.
It's very club kid in a sense.
Yes.
It reminds me of that. Just going to clubs, dressing up like monsters and having fun. I want to wear all these guts on my face.
Who wouldn't want to wear the guts on the face? All right, this is getting exciting, Frankie. Top two. Who's number two?
Number two
is Cadaverous Black.
From the UK. I've got Ghoulish, Androgynous, and Gothic.
Another person that I'm crazy obsessed with. I think it's that they look so horrific. All their makeups look so creepy. And they did the Phantom of the Opera. They did, I think, Pazuzu. And they've done Night of the Demons, Angela. One of my favorite characters. And just watching how they paint their face and how creepy it is. And it's very gothic. It's very black and white horror movie.
Nosferatu.
Very that. And I love vampires. But it's also really well put together. I love the colors that they use. I love the way their makeups look so rich. It's very beautiful.
Reminds me a little bit about sort of like the more extreme looks of Marilyn Manson, actually.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of like a rock and roller type look in there, too. Very theatrical. A lot of these people that you mention here, they don't have much popularity. Cadaverous Black, very obscure, but that is no indication how they're going to do on the show because I was super duper obscure when I got on there. And I did fabulously, of course. I almost won.
You're incredible.
Well, thank
you. And
it
doesn't matter how many followers you have, you know what I mean?
That's true. And everybody out there who is applying, right? It doesn't matter how many followers you have. If you've got good stuff, they will look at you.
If you're serving looks and you're serving concepts and you're looking like no one you've ever seen before, you'll do well. I'm just a huge fan of Cadaverous. And I love looking at all their pictures. I love looking at the horror that they bring. So I'm really excited to see what kind of monsters they bring to life. I'm hoping for movie references. I love movie references. Mm. So I'm hoping they bring like some ghouls that I'm familiar with if they were to get on.
Number one.
Who is the most intriguing performer that should get onto season 4 of Dragula?
Okay, you're going to think I'm biased. My number one most intriguing person that I want to see on Dragula season 4 is the one and only demon clown herself, Christina Clown.
I love Christina Clown. An LA performer and a close friend of yours, perhaps? The three words I got were Dayglow, Supermonster, and Glamrock. Now, this is a true supermonster. All their looks are super on fleek. And I know, you know, you have a lot to do with this person. But this person is worthy of number one because the looks, the concepts, the prosthetics, everything is just fucking so good. And also, you have hung out with this person for a long time in a relationship with this person.
We're going on 14 years.
Wow, that's so exciting. Congratulations.
Of blood and mayhem. It's been fun.
And that could be another reason why you want them on, just because you know how good they are. You see them every day. You see them every time they put their monster drag on, and it is superb.
Krusty is definitely underrated, I feel, but a lot of people love her. And I remember season one DragCon, they had the panel, we were talking, and they were saying, who do you want to see on the next season? And a lot of people screamed her name. Mm. And that was super awesome to me, to know that my boyfriend, my partner, is super popular, and people love what they create, you know? And I told them, I said, hey, try out. Like, it's worth it. People love you. People love what you do. Yeah, everything that he puts together is so neon. It's so out of this world. Giant spikes. He's actually the magic behind Frankie Doom. He makes all my costumes. I just have ideas, and he puts them together.
Wow.
He does a lot for me, and I would love to see him get out there and do something for himself without me and my input, because honestly, I hold him back. There's like moments where he has such crazy ideas, and I'm like, I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if we'll have enough time. And with him, it's very, no, we'll have time. I'll make the time. He'll figure it out. And it always works out and always is a really high concept, really out of the box, insane. Just like, I feel like it's an acid trip every time you look at Krusty. And really horrifying. It goes from like really beautiful and really weird and like colorful and like a rave that you're looking at walking in front of you to like this grotesque five-armed, six-tittied monster with teeth on their vagina.
Truly a scary-ass evil clown.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally have a thing for clowns.
You know, this could be really interesting because if Christina gets onto the show, they should be very afraid of them because of all the artistry they have. They've been in the scene a long ass time. They know what they're doing. They're fucking good at it. This could be like under the radar queen to win the whole shebang, huh?
You know, if I told her if she were to get on, I'd be jealous because I know she'd do much better than I would. And she'll get farther. She'd probably win. So I would hate that I did this twice and that she tried it once and she won. But I would love to have that $100,000.
So that's where the money's going to, huh?
So it's going to go back to that Frankie fund because she likes to shop. But no, I would love to see Cresty get on there and just wow the world with what they can create. I'm her biggest fan.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. What a great list you have, Frankie. This was a totally fantabulous idea and you fucking nailed it.
Thank you. It was so cool to do. When you hit me up about it, I said, okay, I'm going to get on this right away and I'm going to get the people. I already have some ideas.
I think I'm going to do this myself, maybe down the road a little bit. Because, you know, all these people will be auditioning, but they won't know who's on for several months. I don't know when they will reveal, maybe around Halloween or something.
I have so many people already messaging me, like, what should I do? What do you think? What should I try? And I'm kind of like,
me too.
You should know. If you want to get on here, you should know what you want to do. You should know what you're going to bring. You should know what makes you different and special. And if you don't, then maybe you need some more time.
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
Definitely, like, get in there and be confident in yourself. And it doesn't hurt to try. If you don't get an answer back, what does it matter? No one's going to know but you.
True.
So I definitely encourage everyone that's excited to try. And every monster out there, there's a space for everyone.
Thank you so much, Frankie. How do people get in touch with you?
Oh my God, I'm on Instagram all the time. Hit me up on Instagram, Frankie_Doom.
From our sponsors.
From Out TV.
Do you need release?
Buckle up, baby girl. The fun's about to begin.
Yeah! This here is Crazy Town, and you're the mayor of it.
Why does the party always end up in the kitchen?
I'm here to probe your black hole.
Eat your heart out, bitch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's get some fun.
I had my heart set on a pizza, though.
Fresh as fuck.
Brace yourself.
What is this thing?
It's a body up in here.
Don't be sorry. Be better.
I'm still the baddest demon around.
I'm a sexy yin yang, motherfucker.
Feels like the real thing.
Then wiggy me the fuck out.
Let's bribe this bitch.
Let the fisting begin.
Sato, psychiatrist!
Now on Amazon.com, only $2 each high-def episode. Also available on the Out TV Apple TV channel. Sign up now, the first week is free. And also available on demand in the UK and Ireland via the Fruit TV, that's FROOT.TV channel. Use the code DISASTERINE for a free month.
Disasterina merch zone place. It's my fancy store. Go buy my shit.
Novelties, art prints, ephemera, t-shirts, stickers, apparel, badges, greeting cards, paintings, jewelry, enamel pins, accessories.
Plenty of fun stuff for you and your stupid friends.
This one goes to 11.
Foxy Edgeway, welcome to the top 11.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, y'all. I'm Foxy Edgeway, and it's my way or the highway. Just kidding. It's your way, too. It is.
So what top 11 are you going to do for us today?
Okay, so the top 11 I'm bringing to you are my top 11 anime as in like Japanese animation, cartoons, manga, all of that. Okay, I am a huge fan of anime. And it's been a huge part of my life since the jump. Like, literally, I am an amalgamation of, like, personalities from Sailor Moon, okay? That's why, if you know me, if I'm having, like, food in my mouth running around, or you're like, oh, you're so skinny, but you're, like, eating so much, it's because, like, Usagi was fucking fat. She was a fat, skinny girl, and a bit of an airhead, a meatball head, and that definitely is me. Yeah.
So how did you learn about all this stuff?
Well, as I said, like, Sailor Moon was brought to me by my mom. In black culture, what was his name? Bruce Lee was like a thing, even though Bruce Lee's Chinese, but Bruce Lee was a thing. And like, Asian cultures was such a huge thing in black culture, and especially karate and like Tai Chi and all that stuff. So like, it was just like in my sphere. And think about shonen anime, which is kind of like the more like boy, like, fight action-y anime stuff, fantasy anime, that kind of stuff is what my older cousins that were into like karate and stuff and who were like, you know, boys, that's what they were watching. Me, of course, I'm a queer baby, so I was doing a little bit more than just that.
So when you were getting into the anime and stuff, was it like comics or was it TV shows? How did you get access to this? Because, you know, when I was growing up like 300 years ago, they didn't have any of this on TV or anything like that. They had like some comic books, but they were all in Japanese or something. But now these days, these young whippersnappers with all this anime, how did you get it into your brain?
I would say Cartoon Network was like the main source of it all. They had Toonami, and Toonami had all your neoclassic anime. I would say neoclassic is a good way of saying that, because that's when anime started to like really launch off. Sailor Moon is one of those anime that really took the Western culture by surprise and like planted it in our culture as like, this is a fucking thing, this sells, and this is cool. And it always had good messages too, you know, and really cool themes and the action. It wasn't just for boys, it wasn't just for girls. Even if it was like a girl, like a magical girl series, it wasn't just for girls, you know. The anime girls are way more badass than the boys, I swear to you, you know?
Well, one more question before we get into the top 11. Are you a top?
I am versatile. I don't believe that it would be beneficial for someone in a relationship with me to be just one thing or the other and make my cake and eat it too. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I'm a switchy witchy, so I'm right with you.
Hey.
All right, so let's do this in order. Not necessarily your favorites, but, you know, we gotta build up to something. So what is number 11?
Number 11.
Akame ga Kill. It's a fighting action anime that is all about, like, blood and guts and stuff, and like superpowers and stuff. The bad guys are like this troop of Robin Hood heroes, really. And the good guys in this nation are actually the bad guys. So like, those roles are switched, and you get to follow all of their stories, and people get killed off, and you're like attached to them, and it is fucking sad as fuck. It actually is a pretty sad series. Akame ga Kill. I am not the best at pronouncing Japanese words or English words or any words in general, okay?
All right, great start. So what is your number 10?
Number 10.
Gundam Mobile Suit 00. I feel like a lot of people have heard of like Gundam Mobile Suit. It is like a anime series franchise that has been around for like from the get-go. I think Gundam is one of the first giant robot animes out there, and giant robot is an actual theme and trope inside of anime, and a lot of series utilize it. Yes, this one, Mobile Suit 00, is basically in outer space. It's a little bit more trippier than the rest of the Gundams, and I liked it because it was more spacey and it had like a bit of like aliens into like a part of it, rather than like these Gundams on Earth fighting like these wars between humans. It was like the aliens got into the government essentially, and so I don't know. It was kind of like conspiracy, and I was really into that. And the anime, like, the style of the characters was so nice. They were so fucking pretty. The hair colors were, like, nice and bubbly colors and stuff. And I really have a thing for pretty anime characters. Shit.
Because you often cosplay as pretty anime characters, right?
Yes, 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 I do. I do often cosplay as anime characters. You know, I really do. I try and bring into my drag art. It's something that I enjoy. It's something that I want to at least express.
We are really rolling right now. This is exciting. The first top 11. Okay, let's go with number 9.
Number 9.
Number 9 is Hot Dead. Well, HOT is an acronym for High School of the Dead. High School of the Dead is basically like a zombie series. Basically, these kids, like, they're in school and then just the world just turns to shit. And it's like, oh my God, zombies. The first episode, like, a kid has to kill his best friend because he gets bitten by a zombie. And then he has a girlfriend, and then that creates some, like, weird drama throughout the rest of the series. And then this weird harem happens where all the girls in the show loves the main guy character. And that's another trope inside of anime, harems. It's either about all one boy or all one girl. And it gets super weird and complicated.
So is this one or the other ones you mentioned, are they sort of like for adults only, or is this for everybody?
That is a really good question. So first off, how much they affect your mind and the intensity of them, the content either is like either too intense from like a psychological perspective or a like violence perspective. And then some of it does have an overly sexual perspective too. But in anime, I feel like it's kind of there no matter what. I feel like the only time it's literally for kids is when you know it's literally a kid's show. Other than that, I feel like it's really hard to kind of like box up an anime into like, oh, this is for this age group and this was for that. Anime reaches so many people in so many different like points of their lives and so many different groups. Like, it's really hard to kind of like box it in, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'd say it's definitely kind of for everybody. Though they do have their niche, like too much blood, too much guts, too much thriller, too much frights and jumps, or too much fighting, you know? So it all has that.
Well, I don't have any real complaint with over-sexual. So I'm good so far. Let's go on to number 8.
Some people might hate me for putting this one this low.
Nobody can hate you, Foxy.
They better not. So my number 8 is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. It's a great anime. So it has to be on this list. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. They had two renditions of it. Obviously, this one started off as a manga and then it adapted as an anime. The original anime sped off ahead of the manga because the manga didn't finish. So the anime just like did whatever it wanted. So it was weird and incomplete. And then once the manga was finished, they did Brotherhood. It was the true revisioning of the original anime series, but through the lens of the actual manga. So that means like it follows the source material to the T. And that one's like about like equivalent exchange. Everything has a price and you have to pay it. And there's these alchemists in this world, and they all have, some of them have ability to like transmute things from water to gold or some shit like that, you know? And it's a really cool series, and it deals with like themes of like what is the worth of a human soul.
Wow, that's super philosophical. You know, my impression, I'm not deep into anime, obviously, but my impression would be, you know, mostly like fighting or stuff like that. But that's getting into dualism, and I don't know what other isms, but there's plenty of isms in there. And when you get into this stuff, are you getting into it from comic books or from novels or from illustrated novels or from TV shows or movies? How do you usually get into it?
Okay, so how I get into these things and how I find them out is literally by being in the community. There's one on this list that I didn't read the manga of. First off, it's really hard to keep up with things nowadays because there's just so much stuff everywhere. So so much content, so much stuff to digest and like feed your eyes. So you can't do it all. So what I do is I go on YouTube, I stay on Discords and community boards and Reddit and whatnot, and see what everyone is talking about, you know? There are a lot of YouTubers out there that do anime reviews. And so I stay up to date with them, with reviewers of anime. And then I watch the anime by myself, you know, and I get my own perspective of it. But I do love a good spoiler. But originally, I used to read manga when I was younger and I had the time, you know. But bitch can't even pick up a book anymore. The book I'm reading right now is A Promised Land by Obama. So that's actually a really good book, just letting everybody know. But back to anime. So I basically kind of started from reading manga and then, of course, watching dubs. And then I realized dubs sucked. And then you watch the...
I don't know what dubs are because I'm stupid.
Okay, so dubs are something originally in Japanese gets dubbed in English. So you get English voice actors. Mm. But then there's subtitles and that's still Japanese voice actors. And then it's subtitled and translated into English. So the subtitles are always the best because it really gives you the feel of how the anime is, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes there's a lot to read. You know, you got to be in the mood for it. You can't be smoking some weed or something and be trying to watch it because you're going to be like, damn, I can't keep up. You're going to be rewinding that shit. You know what I mean? Because sometimes they go fast.
Okay, children, put your spleefs down because we're going to get into the anime now. All right. Number seven.
Number seven.
So number seven is actually Seven Seeds. Seven Seeds is a new anime that came out. It's like dystopia, futuristic anime about like the world ended in a really horrible way. And they chose seven kids from different places. Well, there were like seven different groups and seven different kids in each one of those groups that had different skills and whatnot. And they put them in like a hyperbolic time chamber or some shit and like put them to sleep without them knowing. And then they wake up in this new world. Basically, it's like Earth 10 million years later. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like a survival thing. And the whole planet is like completely different. And they're surviving. They're trying to survive. And they're also like every now and again, they stumble upon like an old relic of the past, and their lives get told throughout this story, and some of the sad things that happen to people gets told to us, and it's intense.
Are there any Starbucks in 10 million years in the future?
Unfortunately, no. No Starbucks. No.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Stop the world, I want to get off.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go on to number six.
Number six.
Sexy Six.
Sexy Six. Okay, Sexy Six, I'm going to say is Jujutsu Kaisen. Jujutsu Kaisen is a new Shonen Jump anime. And this anime is basically a super badass anime. It has its own power system. This power system revolves around negative emotions and energy. You use your negative emotions to like power up attacks and all that jazz. And you have to like be really conscious of how these things work because like you can either curse somebody or get cursed by this negative energy and it could affect people. It's complicated, but it's trippy and it's good. And the fights are incredible. And people are all over this stuff right now. Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty damn hot.
It sounds like a self-portrait of the Twitter sphere.
Twitter sphere?
What? Well, you know, you're talking about all like the psychological torture and things, people like shooting, you know, barbs of bad energy at each other. That's what, you know, when I get onto Twitter, that's what I see.
Oh, shit. Oh, ooh.
I know you have an account on there. You never go there, but, you know, you should check it out because it's pretty intense.
I mean, I use my Twitter every now and again, but I'm just like, I have never really got into it. You know what? In that anime, there could totally be a cursed monster that is like made from Twitter energy. I could see that. I could totally see that.
We will be right back after this quick break.
This is Barney Scrotum. I'm a hand puppet. You are listening to the Tasty Earbits podcast. Help support our show by reading articles about Gnosticism or joining our Patreon. at patreon.com/ghostsonfire. That's one word. Or maybe by having a beer with me down at the bar. We could talk about pseudoscience. Alright. Bye.
Number 5.
Alright, now we're getting up to the top 5. What is number 5, Foxy?
Number 5 is Hunter x Hunter, or to some, Hunter x Hunter. It's another Shonen Jump anime that is one of the best out there. This anime is just incredible. It has like a bunch of seasons. The fights in this anime are crazy. The power system is one of the best power systems I've ever seen in an anime. It's called like the Nin power system. There are 5 different types. There's like a manipulator, there's a transmuter, there's an enhancer, there's a conjurer, and then there's a specialist. And each one of those things have different ways of utilizing life energy. And then it has so many different rules to each one of these things. And then you have a Hatsu, which is your soul's interpretation of its power. And it manifests as a certain thing. You have to really decide how it is. And you have to really be focused on how to create your soul's power. And if you don't do it right, then it'll be horrible. You might suck as a Nin user.
I'm getting a little bit of this stuff because you keep using the term like transmuting, which is really interesting. And you're talking about like alchemy in one of the other ones. There's a lot of sort of like shape-shifting and just different energy exchange and sort of thing. It's interesting. It's kind of like psychically spiritual and stuff like that.
Anime gets deep. The people who create these things are just masters of story, masters of world building. They create these whole universes that basically just transform your mind into visualizing something that just never could have existed. As I said, like with Brotherhood Alchemist, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, in that one, this whole entire world is just like the philosophy within it, like literally there's so much philosophy, so much history and like military states and how that would be a thing. Like if the world was ran by a military or something, like that's in there. All these themes and ideals being expressed and these thought experiments being put into a creative format and coming to life. And then fucking cool action sequences happening and cool storylines happening, heartwarming things coming into fruition and just like really rocking your gosh darn world.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting deeper into the numerals. We're getting into number 4.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Code Geass. If I had to put it actually on a list that was my top 5, this one would probably be either 1 or 2. But I'm putting it at 4 just because there is just so much anime out there. It's really hard to really tell people like, oh, this one's better than this one this way, yada, yada, yada. It really is difficult because I have such a connection to all of these anime. They've really become a part of who I am in my life and gotten me through some tough times, and like the kind of trauma and stories that these characters go through, I really do resonate with. But in Code Geass, number 4, this one is one of my favorite anime because it is basically like an alternate universe of like where we are right now after World War II, essentially. You know, Germany loses, Japan falls, and there's this new amalgamation of Britain and America that kind of like comes together, and they have their own new royal family, and then they start taking over the world just like how Germany was doing, but they actually start succeeding. And one of the royal princes of this family, some like crazy dark shit happens, and then he gets like tossed, him and his sister gets tossed off to Japan and get pawned off over there as political pawns. And he vows to bring down Britannia, his home country. And then that's where the story starts. He's a brilliant strategist. He is a brilliant chess player. And so he uses those skills to basically beat up Britannia from within
Japan and using the Japan forces while still being a fucking school student, you know? And then it also has a weird kind of like power system in it too. Kogyas, it's Gyas. Gyas is the power of kings. Mm-hmm. Yes, you get granted a power that transcends reality. And this, the power that the main character has, Lelouch via Britannia, he has the power to command anyone one time to do anything he wants, and they cannot disobey. He's like, I command you to do such and such, and then their whole mind shifts. And he's like, oh, if he tells you to kill yourself, you're going to kill yourself. If he tells you to kill everybody, you're going to go do that. And then his power gets out of control. Oh, my God. Drama. Family drama. Ooh.
What about Swallow?
What?
Can that be the one request? Swallow? Oh. You said anything.
I mean, I think that would be a little bit of a waste. I think that would be a waste. Yeah. I'm a spitter. And I can see, well, you know what? Now that you say it like that, I can see somebody having to say that to me, because I would have spit it at them several times and they would have gotten tired of it. And then they would have been like, swallow, Foxy. And I would have been like, fuck you.
The power of anime is incredibly strong.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Even Foxy will swallow. Okay, now we're getting into top three. We're really getting into some scary business right here. Number three. What is number three, Foxy?
Number three.
Gosh. Oh, this is like some hard stuff.
Because you love them all, right?
I love them all. So number three, I would say, is Black Butler. Black Butler is like a period piece. It's like in the Victoria era in London in the UK, and this young duke, his family is the guard dogs of the royal court. They do all the dirty work for the queen, and something happens with his family, and his mother and father get murdered, and then he's about to die, but then he makes a contract with a demon, a devil, and this demon devil like saves him and then becomes his butler. His butler is the Black Butler. He's one hell of a butler. Yes. And basically, you go throughout the story, some shenanigans happen. But then there's an overarching like story that comes to, he's trying to get revenge and find out who killed his family and who was trying to kill him. So that's what the story is trying to follow. And what happens is you realize there's a bunch of weird shit happening. There's angels happening and coming down to earth and stuff, just like the butler, and making contracts with humans. There's Shinigami, death gods coming down, or reapers coming down and making contracts for people and becoming butlers. It's crazy shit.
Butlers have always seemed kind of evil to me, so it makes a lot of sense.
Shit, I would love a butler or an assistant, one of those.
An evil butler?
An evil butler that wants to eat my soul but won't eat my soul because he's loving like my badassery. Yeah, yeah. And we have a contract that he's going to like protect me and do all of my bidding. Yes, totally.
And when is your birthday coming up?
April 27th. So it's coming up.
Okay, people out there, you know what Foxy wants for her birthday.
Hey.
Now we're getting into the top two here. Are you sweating bullets? Are you excited, Foxy? Number two. What is number two?
Number two.
This is so hard. Okay, number two, I'm going to say, is Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail is another Shonen Jump anime, like the power of friendship. It's like all these magicians and they all have different types of magic. It's like random magic stuff. They're always like trying to like become stronger and whatnot. And the main character, he loves fighting. He loves a good fight. He's a fire wizard. He's a fire dragon wizard, a dragon slayer. It has a crazy, long-winded fucking story that I cannot get into. But essentially, the power of friendship brings all these people together. They're part of the magic guild called Fairy Tail, and they have a long history, and all these people are like brothers and sisters, and they care about each other, and it's just heartwarming and great fun action sequences, and then always like a little bit of like pumping up your energy of like, yeah, you can do it, and kick their butt, and like, yes, my fans are my power. It's heartwarming, and I like watching those anime because it keeps you in good spirits, and it reminds you to be a fucking good person. Come on, world, be a good person.
That's all I'm trying to do, hon. And then also make some coin on the side, you know.
Number one. What is number one? Now we're really getting down to business. Ding, 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 ding.
Number one, number one, number one.
Number one, what is it, Foxy?
So this genre of anime is called a shonen ai. A shonen ai is boy's love. Boy's love is a queer anime. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then like the 18 and up rated R version is called yaoi. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The lesbian version of it is called Yuri. Oh, speaking of Yuri, random side anime. Yuri on Ice is a really good sports anime that is also queer, just say. But back to this one.
So when you say there's versions of these, this queer anime, does that mean that they are sort of more or less the same character?
Different
characters?
I'm so ahead of myself. What I meant is that like yaoi is a genre of anime. So there's a bunch of different ones out there. Shonen ai is a genre of anime. So shonen is like boys, shoujo is girls. Ai means love in Japanese. So shonen ai, boys love, girls love, yada, yada, yada. And then 18 and up, yaoi, yuri. But let's get into the anime. My top one.
Number one.
Is named Gravitation. It is a spectacular love story and drama of a pop idol star called Suichi Shindo, who has like cute purple eyes and pink hair, and he's like a singer and he's trying to make his dreams come true, and he's queer, but he didn't really know he was queer, you know, because it's like being queer is like weird in like Japan. But he bumps into this writer named Ariyuki. Yes, that's the same. Oh my god. Ariyuki, oh my god, he's just like super tall, lean, muscular, blonde dude who's from America but is like half Japanese. And, like, they have this whirlwind, like, romance. And it's purely kind of, like, sexual. And then it kind of turns into, like, Shuichi is like, I love you. And Yuki is like, yeah, sure. And it kind of, it's like this weird, like, kind of stuff happening while Shuichi Shindo is trying to, like, build up his idol career. And also, you meet all these, like, crazy other performers and whatnot. And then this drama with this relationship. It is... Oh my god. Ah!
Sounds really heavy.
Get it? Yeah, Gravitation! Oh, you're so fucking crazy. But like literally, this is my all-time favorite anime. It's the first shonen ai that I've ever watched, and it like changed my world when I realized that queer anime was out there. I named my penis after Suichi Shindo. My penis name is Mr. Suichi.
What could be more influential in anybody's life for them to name their penis after something? That's incredible, Foxy.
Why, thank you. It is.
I'm impressed and I'm really happy for you, too.
Thank you.
And now I'm really jealous because the name of my penis is really terrible in comparison. It's a Cornelius Schnabrob. It's not as lyrical as this. I mean, it's not as significant and everything. I maybe have to reconsider. I'll get into some anime and maybe rename my penis.
Yeah, I think you should do that. I think we all should go ahead and rename our private parts, okay? I think they deserve it, especially if you didn't go as deep as I did. Yeah, go anime balls deep. Just something really cool. There's a YouTuber called Anime Balls Deep. It was really good. I really love their work. So just a shout out to them. Yeah, watch them on YouTube. You'll love their stuff.
And where can we find you on the social medias, Foxy?
Okay, cool. My drag name is Foxy, Foxie. God, I cannot talk right now. That's Foxy with an IE, like Tammy with an IE. And then Ajue is spelled A-D-J-U-I-A. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter. I'm going to be starting doing some more TikToks and stuff and having some fun with that. So let's all like hang out and kick it. You know, let's kick the can together. Hey.
so much to all my contributors. I love you so much. Sassy grunting.
Music for the podcast by Dr. Stevo. Go to drstevo.com. drstevo.com. If you want to help this podcast out, please, please, please do so. Go to patreon.com/coleslawsonfire, one word, and just drop a few greenbacks for us so we can keep on going. We can buy some, like, 3-day-old soup or something.